So I speak really low and really fast. So if there's parts that nobody understands, I can't really see, but just scream. Okay?
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah. So I made an executive decision this morning that this is the only slide I'm going to show you. But let me tell you why. Because I don't want to talk at you, I want to talk to you. Because for me, this is more of a call to arms rather than here's the information. It's more like take the information and do something with it. Okay? Bueno? Affirmation? Yes? Awesome. Okay, so I work in healthcare. I've worked in healthcare for 10 years. I do healthcare informatics, which essentially means I maintain the data within the system. Within the last year and a half, I've gotten more into the security side because of all the breaches. On a personal note, I've had my information stolen about 3 times from a healthcare position because I was in the military. That weirded me out. So I was in the military. The military has gotten their information stolen from the DoD twice, and the VA had their information stolen once. All of this was from a database or from a computer. That's really great, right? That's very reassuring that my information is just out there for those to take. So me, I know how to secure my information, right? But as a civilian or as a normal lay person, what do they know to do? They're just kind of going to sit there and wonder what to do, and that boggles my mind because it shouldn't be that way. We should all just have enough confidence in our healthcare system that we can just walk in, get treated, get everything taken care of, and our information isn't going anywhere but within that system, right? Yeah. Thank you. So now is the heritage part. So I'm going to skip around because for me, the train of thought goes in a very different, weird, odd way. So when you look at me, what do you see? What nationality? What race?
Mars.
Perfect. Correct. So here in the United States, we all have to fill out that form, right? When you get a job, and it's like, what race are you? White, black, whatever it says. And then you fill out your ethnicity. So under normal circumstances, I fill out white, non-Hispanic, Latin as my ethnicity because that's how I grew up. So when asked, I'm Puerto Rican. I did 23andMe, had my DNA sequenced, had everything checked out. Turns out I'm 72% from southern Spain. I knew that. 10% Ashkenazi, Jewish. Yeah. yes, I tried that. Western and Northern African, Middle Eastern, and Native American. So I'm a mutt, essentially. So now I get that opportunity to tick off all the little boxes and say female, military, everything. So I'm kind of an automatic yes when I go to a job. So this part that's awesome, right? I know all these magical things about me now, but what does that mean for my healthcare? So I also sequenced my grandmother, my paternal grandmother, because there were issues going on with her health, and I was worried, so I sequenced her because I just wanted some sort of memory to maintain if anything had happened to her. She's alive, she's great. What I found out was we both have Southern Spain, all these other things. I thought, from the stories that I've heard through my whole life, that she was the Jewish part of my life. I literally have my paternal family's mezuzah at home. And I'm all like, yay, this is great. No, wrong. It's my, oh, by the way, my mother is here. Come quickly. Mom,
hi.
Crowd. Return.
Hi.
So now you've seen her. So that's the Ashkenazi in my family. That's awesome. Super great. Here's the problem. The Ashkenazi side coming from my mother automatically gives me a predisposition to BRCA, which is a chromosome that leads to breast cancer. It's cool, right? Not so much. So this is my segue into other things. So this is my personal health information I'm going to share with you. Let me tell you why. Because these are important things to know so that when you do go to your doctor, you have information and you are aware and you can bring it to them. So I go to my doctor, I tell him about the BRCA, and he's like, oh, okay, let's check that out. But going backwards, so I did the 23andMe, found these things out. There's another website that you take all this raw data from 23andMe and you put it in there. It's called Prometheus. And it shoots out all this other information. Basically, it tells you everything about your life, including how you're going to die. The prediction is that I'm going to die of some reproductive cancer. My lady parts, that's cool. So I go to my gynecologist, have this conversation, tell him I found all these things out. I have BRCA on my mother's side. All these other things, reproductive, fine. He does an examination. He calls me back and says, you need to come back. Oh, what? Okay. So I returned. Let me tell you why. One of the hormones related to my lady parts was 30 times what it should have been. I go back. Same result. Blood test indicates 30 times what it should have been. I do an MRI because what is causing this is something in my brain. Ends up, I have a benign tumor on my pituitary gland. This is important. My grandmother has it as well. My paternal grandmother has it as well. So one of the questions he asked was, why didn't you tell me about that? And I said, well, you never asked. And he said, well, that's something that you should say. I said, well, that's something you should ask about. Because it's not one of those things that I'm just going to throw at it. That I'm going to throw out at you going, oh, by the way, this is what's going on with my mother, my grandmother, and everybody else. So here's the happy ending to this story. I'm alive. Nothing happened yet. So thanks. I know, but now I've clarified. So I'm alive. I've given myself that information and the opportunity to talk to my doctor about everything that's going on with me per my DNA, per everything that's going through my body, and we're both armed to make better choices, which I think a lot of people don't have that opportunity to do. We kind of just trust the healthcare system to, you know, check your heart, check all your issues, and they poo-poo you away. And that's enough, and that's not, because we are reactive. We are a reactive society. Everything is. We should be proactive. We should look at everything and make better choices for ourselves, because if we want a better society, shouldn't we be taking care of ourselves first? Maybe? So that's kind of where my brain had stopped moving, because for me it was daunting that I would have had an unhappy ending completely based on the unforeseen fact that nobody was asking questions and nobody was checking certain things. So going forward, I'm going to talk about my mitochondrial DNA. So mitochondrial DNA is your mother, your first mother, your Eve. Mine happens to be this woman they call the Frozen Lady. She is aged 500 years. She was found in a cave on the side of a mountain in Argentina. So they found her. I can actually show you her picture. Boom. Fine, I lied. It's pictures, though. So this is the oldest woman that they can find with my haplogroup, which happens to be A2. So what happens with mitochondrial DNA is women give that to their children. So men have it as well. They don't pass it on. The females do. So I have A2. My mother has A2. My maternal grandmother has A2. So on and so forth. So when they found her, it was a big deal, because she's the first one that has A2. So this is actually her. That's literally how they found her, because she was frozen in this mountain. They did some tests on her. They wanted to see how she died, maybe if she just walked up there, got lost. She was also with two other kids in that volcano cave. She was 13 years old there. She died frozen at 13. Now, they did some blood tests on her to see how she died, because they wanted to see if it was a natural cause. Cause. Who's from New York? This guy. Cause. Cause. So she ended up being sacrificed to their gods. They did a hair test on her, and they found out that she was drugged on cocaine, given lots of alcohol, and sent up there with these two children for a sacrifice. That's kind of cool, I guess, in some morbid way, that I at least have someone that I can look at and be like, that's my first person, that's my mom. What else? I wrote notes, but I'm not following anything. And I talk fast. Huh? Shh. So what else can I tell you? Let's talk about the Native Americans in general. So Inca, right? That's where she's from. So that's an Inca Native American. If you think back in history, what happened to the Native Americans? Disease, yes. Because all the Europeans brought it over, right? It was just a lot of bad things happening. That means that for me, my people survived all of this, survived all this plague and madness that the Europeans brought over. So in my mind, I come from some pretty strong genes, and I'm happy about that. So I'm trying to move that over. I am actually going to talk about my mama. You ready? Mm-hmm. She's already mad. I see the face. So this is why I think we need to change healthcare in this nation. I used to have long hair, like down to here. About a year and a half ago, I cut it off. Because this lady over here came down with one of the rarest forms of lymphoma in the world. Now, she went from stage 1 to stage 4 in a week, because they found a tumor here, and they found another tumor here. Now, that's pretty awful, right? Yeah. She had a chemo bag, literally, that she had to carry around with her for 5 days, 24 hours a day, while it just churned chemo into her body. She went from stage 4 to complete remission by the second round of chemo. She had to continue through to go. You're so cool. So she had to continue through to all of the chemo rounds to make sure she was done. She's been in remission since last February, right? A year, something like that. That's pretty great. The problem I have with that is that she had to go to work through that whole thing. Shouldn't it be more of the effect that she should have been home, chilling, with her feet up? No, she didn't do that. Just getting herself better instead of having to go to work. It was to the point where she almost had to get Cobra, which means now you have to pay for Cobra, and then you have to pay for the chemo on top of all that. I had a fundamental issue with all of that, purely because that's not how this country should work. It should be more of the lines that you get yourself better, and when you're ready to go back to work, you go back to work. No? So that's my mom. Now I'm gonna tell you about my dad. My dad is not here. He is physically here. He lives in Queens, but he's not here today. My father was at 9/11. My father's a paramedic for the fire department. So when 9/11 happened, he was one of the people that went over there. My father has lung nodes, bilateral, both lungs. He's fine, but he also had to fight for that project for the I think it's called the World Trade Center Health Project, something like that. They had to fight for that too. When it's one of, again, it's one of those things where we should just be helping people. We should let people get better without them having to beg for it. Make sense? Cool. So, what else? I'm gonna talk about CRISPR for a reason. Does everybody know what CRISPR is?
No.
Okay. I don't know. So, what CRISPR does is it looks for the repeats within the DNA. And you can actually go in there and remove things from your DNA and switch it with something else. So let's say I have BRCA, I have the BRCA chromosome. They can go in and change it to something recessive. So now, or just that it's not even there. So then I don't get breast cancer. Awesome deal, right? Yeah. Are they using it for that? Not yet. The Parker Institute, he just got funding and the law allowed him to start using CRISPR on human trials. That's gonna be amazing because maybe now you can be blonde. Yes. Because now maybe our cancers that are internalized within our genetics won't be an issue. We'll just be able to say, okay, let's just make this happen, get it changed out. That's a plus, yeah? Hear, hear. What's the negatives to this? Eugenics. So what happens when you change everybody's code?
You all turn into the same damn person.
Pretty much. You all turn into the same damn person. You start getting boutique babies if you want them. Huh? If you can afford it. But, hold. If you can afford it. But then, aren't we also setting it up so that we're all homogenous? What does that end up happening? What ends up happening?
Not all the standards that we come here
right. Now, not everybody's standards are the same, so it won't be homogenous, but what if... I can't hear. Exactly. So now we might be setting ourselves up for failure. Right. I'm moving to something else. Hold, please. 23andMe. A lot of people have problems with their privacy. What their privacy does say is that they won't sell, lease, or rent your genetic information. Nice, thank you. But it does say that they will de-anonymize it, aggregate, and give it to people that are doing research. I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but I do, because it's mine. It's my information. The only plus that I can think of that comes out of this is that the research will be better, because now they're having way more information than people just going to the doctor and having it done, right? Let's think about IBM Watson. Nobody really has a problem with IBM Watson and them taking your blood or your cells or the biopsy from the cancer because it's working towards a goal. The precision medicine takes your DNA and the DNA of the biopsy and gives you best case scenario. It takes your social life, it takes your whole life into account to give you best case scenario for your chemo, radiation, surgery. That's awesome. Because if I went in, I've had morphine before. I can't take it. It does nothing for me. My cells don't have the receptors for it. So for me, it's just a lost cause. Lost cause. So my next thing is that I was in the military. There is no real transfer from the Department of Defense to the Veterans Administration for your healthcare. You literally have to walk in and regurgitate everything you've ever been through. That's a lot to live through. It's a lot to talk about. My preference would be that they already have that information and they just have to look at me and say, okay, what do you want to talk about? What don't you want to talk about? What happened? What are your goals, et cetera? So My research is in implants. I have two implants in my hands, one in my right hand, one in my left hand. I'm working on a way to make it so that information is easier to get to. Not just worrying about interoperability, but having it on you, having it available as necessary, not needing, it would be too, it's still in progress, BT dubs. So that's where I'm trying to go with healthcare. Better movement of the information so that it's anonymous if it's just moving around within the EMRs or on you physically so that if something does happen to you, you get better care. It's ease of use, it's fast, and it's efficient. You don't want to be on the floor after you might have had a seizure, you might have fainted, something like that. And as a woman, the first thing they say is, maybe she's pregnant. So instead of getting care immediately, bye. He has an interview. So instead of getting care immediately, they would do all these tests to see what was going on with me. Or they can look at me, take the information from my hand and say, oh, she's not pregnant. She's got low blood sugar. Let's feed her. Give her a saline drip. Give her a sugar drip. She'll be fine. She'll be awake in like 10 minutes. That sort of thing. Because now you're not going through all these tests or medications. You're just waiting for a result. This is what I have. This is what it isn't. And boom, better treatment. Saves money, saves time, saves more lives. Correct? Maybe. Okay. Exactly. Did you all hear him? Instant, if you can get an instant, if you can get an instant credit report, why can't you get instant health readout? Hold. So it's that every time I say hold, somebody has a question. So other stuff. There are chromosomes within you that dictate certain things. For instance, I'll show you this because it's funny. Your pheromones. Right? So we all have our own pheromones. We all have different smells. What pheromones do is they're supposed to give you an attraction rate that you can smell on another person. They found, so it actually looks for major histocompatibility complex. So what they find is women that are on the pill look for people that smell like them. Women that are not look for the opposite scent. Why? Because the opposite scent means that you have a different background. Something about you is not the same as me, which means my children have a better chance of survival. So it ups the odds. Everybody's happy. This next one. We also have a Mao gene. It's monoamine oxidase. What this does is it's all about aggression. Some people have it, some people don't. I have it. This is being used in Beijing. The Beijing Genome Institute is currently working with DNA. They're looking at ways to make a perfect human being. Awesome. What's the downside? Make the perfect warrior, right? We get pinged all the time with them trying to come after us with cyber. So why wouldn't they come after us with humans? So that's just something to think about. Also, nature versus nurture. I have this aggression gene. If you talk to me, I think I'm super nice. Most people will say that. So what happens with this? Is it that I pushed it down? Or is it just something in me innately that I've controlled? ¿Qué más? Ah, okay, awesome. I love this. So when I started medical records, things were still on paper. I taught the doctors how to use the electronic medical record because it was for better keeping, right? 10 years ago, everything was still moving along very sluggishly. What's in a medical record? You fill out all these papers, right? To identify yourself. You give them your name, your address, your race, your phone number, all these things, your financials, any medical issues you've ever had, all your history, any medical devices you have, their medical devices. Hey. And what's always the biggest issue? People. Phishing attacks. This is a lot of information. This is not information that I would willingly give anyone. But they ask you for it, and because you have this trusting relationship, you hand it over. Because that's what they're supposed to do. Give you all this knowledge based on your background. But not anywhere in here does it say, what about your DNA? They check your background, your family history, but what about the rest of it? The things that they can't see, the things that you don't remember. With this, what are the complications? You get your credit card stolen. What's that worth on the black market? $500? You can, huh?
A couple of $2.
It's a little bit of money. You can go get like a candy bar and be fine for a day. Or I could take all this information, ransomware you, or sell it on the black market and get about 10K. I live in the city. I live here in New York City. That means I can live for what? No.
A week.
3 months.
3 months, more or less. So I win. For 5 minutes of work, I just got my apartment paid for, my car payment, whatever the case is. So what are people doing with this information? My first thought was a pregnant woman. How much is it to have a baby? If you have no insurance, how much is it when you go get your medical bill? Like 15K, 40K? For the anesthesia, if you need the doctor for a C-section, even if you're just having a natural birth, it's a lot of money. A lot of money that most people don't have. So what's the easiest way to do it? You become someone else. You take their information, you go in, boom. Now everything is paid off. They can't find you after that. They're billing someone else. This is huge. There's a lot of medical corruption in the United States that I don't think we're really looking at, because we don't really have the security measures to look at it. When healthcare records were made, it was more of the what works and what doesn't. And when they figured out what worked, they kind of stitched it together with whatever else they had. So everything was interfaced. Information didn't really slide from one place to another. That's a hazard. In this industry, we all know it's a hazard. So what are we trying to do? Did anybody go to Scott's talk, Scott Irvin? He was talking about IAT, the way that they're working, devices, making everything more secure, putting everything together in a better way. And that's what we need to do. We kind of have to force them into doing these things. Because otherwise, the medical world starts getting over, I don't want to say compensated, but there's a lot of money going into a system that isn't working. We're paying people for a lot of work. So what can we actually do to help this situation? So we need to protect patient information a lot better. We need to make sure that it's accessible, ease of use. There's a lot more visibility into what the medical community is doing, and we need more collaboration. So a lot of the bio talks have been talking about collaboration, and I'm completely for it, because the last thing we need is to be as closed off as the medical systems are now. We need to have the visibility to let people know that we're working on something better for the community. And it's things like that that trigger me and keep me up at night, because it's a lot of crazy to me. It shouldn't be this way. We're a first world nation. We should be like, yeah, we got this. You're protected, right? So that is all I got right now. Bueno?
Muy bueno. Yeah.
Okay, questions.
Yeah, I heard you on the radio off the hook like a month ago.
Yeah.
And honestly, the talk you just gave does not sound like the talk you said you were going to give, which was like, I found out I had a genetic disease and I modified my DNA, so I won't get it. So
I didn't modify my DNA.
Well,
I said how you can, which is CRISPR.
Yeah. But I mean, could you talk about that a little bit more? I mean, did you actually do something to remove the BRCA from your...
So, like I said, huh? Right. So, he heard me on the radio, and he's asking if I actually changed my DNA. So right now, they're still in human trials. The Parker Institute just got clearance from the FDA to do it. So... it's something that the medical world is working toward, but it's not something that's readily available today. Does that make sense?
Well, I know legally, officially, yes, but I thought you had.
No, it's not available yet. If it was, I'd change a lot of things. Yeah?
How do you ride the line with hospitals and health insurance companies being so intertwined? Health insurance companies wanting so much of that data. Once there's more of that data available, how do you ride the line between privacy? Because the health insurance companies are going to be asking for that back, and they're no doubt going to be farming that out to smaller companies or other companies to do statistics for them to find things like fraud or other things to suit their business needs. So once we start digging into more and more data, how do we kind of satisfy the business need of healthcare providers, if you have any thoughts on that, of getting that information from the hospital and sharing, and you sharing that information.
Me sharing it with the hospital?
Right, for your healthcare, but then as part of getting the payback for your health insurance, you and the hospital are both required to provide a lot of that back to a business, the health insurance, which is likely then wants a lot of that data to be able to do statistics and other things.
Yeah. So the data is actually dependent on the doctor because it's objective and objective assessment and plan based on him. So right now, the way it works, they just write their notes, put a code on it with whatever procedures they did, and send it over. In the future, my thought is going to be if we all get DNA testing and we're all in the system, they're going to say, why did you do that test? Clearly, they're going to see the results eventually. But I think it's going to be more proactive. So for the statistics that are going to come out, it's more about population health, not individual health. Yeah.
Piggybacking off of that, what's stopping them from raising my premium if they see that I have a predisposition to some disease like cancer?
Right. Nothing. Nothing right now. But the whole thing is we have to change the system.
Right.
It shouldn't just be that because you have a predisposition to something that they can raise your premium. It should be, let's treat you. Let's make sure you're okay before it becomes an issue. I know, huh?
And also, one more question. With a service like 23andMe, where they say they're gonna keep your data private, if they got a warrant for that information, say that you were suspected of something and the government wanted to match my DNA and see, would they just be able to, would they hand that over, or how does that work?
From what I read, no. But that's also a possibility. They don't necessarily need your DNA. Sorry, your DNA to do it. They can map you to someone else, find you as the closest relative or something to that effect, and still find you. Mel? Right. So in October, they changed all the codes from ICD-9, which we were the only ones using, to ICD-10, which was worldwide. So ICD-10 is extremely detailed. It's down to what part of the bone, in the bone, on the right side. This is better, I think. because now it's, before it wasn't as detailed, so it was like, oh, my right hand hurts, pain in right hand. That doesn't help me. If I have right hand in, pain in my right pinky, things of that nature, why do I have this pain? Is it something that I've been doing, nature versus nurture? For me, the pain in my right hand is because how I hold my cell phone. So how do I think it's gonna help? Again, it's more detail. The more detail you have, the better you can do your job. What? Ophea.
I wanted to piggyback off of his question. Is 23andMe considered doctor-patient confidentiality? Are they doctors, or is it like?
Because it's a lab.
It's just a lab.
So it's a lab.
So it's not, it does not fall under at all under doctor-patient confidentiality. Yeah.
It still falls under HIPAA.
Oh, is it doctor-patient?
Yeah, for sure.
HIPAA is not doctor-patient confidentiality.
Yeah,
that's HIPAA, just says how they can store your information.
I recently read through the 23andMe terms and conditions. Which
can you hear him?
No.
No. All right, I understand.
Thank you. So when I first started hearing about this stuff from Nina, I was really interested in it as well. And obviously, like many of you, I was curious about the privacy implications as well. Like, how do I get my DNA sequenced and get all this cool information without giving all this stuff away to some entity? I don't know what they're going to do with it. And if you look around online, there's a lot of different resources that people have written that talk about this specific topic. How do you get your DNA sequenced with a commercial company and still get some of the light layer of anonymity? And specifically in regards to 23andMe, they have a policy where they have an independent like research group, and if you opt in to share your DNA with that research group, then you have more legal protections than if you don't. So if you opt in to participate in this research group, then they will share your DNA for research purposes. However, because of that, now it's protected under HIPAA and some other things. So they would be, it would be less accessible to law enforcement and stuff like that, NSLs notwithstanding. I don't know if National Security Letter would override all that. Realistically, it probably does, but that's a whole separate question. But if you don't, if you decide, well, I don't want to voluntarily share that with that research group, then from a legal standpoint, you actually have less protections. So if they do get a request for your information, there's a strong chance that they will, in fact, provide that information to them. I don't know about the policies about other competitors, such as Ancestry.com. They have a competing service that provides the same raw data for a lower price. My understanding is they actually are even more private with the data, which is a good thing, but they're not as good, apparently. So you have to kind of pick your poison. And right now, as near as I could tell and as near as you can tell in our conversations that we've had, there's no clear information about that. This is such a new and changing field that we're figuring all this out. So the answers that we want, we don't really have. But yeah.
That sounds a little bit like the protection model or the or extortion. If you let us use your data for other stuff, we'll take better care of you. If not, well, you're on your own.
But, okay. What's to say they're not taking your DNA anyway? If you have a cup, you've left your DNA. If you, I touch this, I leave my DNA. So do they need a warrant? I know. But even if they wanted to come after me?
The way that's set up, it sounds a little bit like, hey, well, if you give us the ability to use this for more stuff, then we'll protect you more. If not, then we may or may not take care of you.
Isn't that how law works? You give me more details, I protect you more? Yeah. Well, I mean, like an interrogation. If you give up the person, we'll give you like 5 minutes in jail, not 5 years. I know.
23andMe, it could be sold. They could go bankrupt. There's a lot of ways.
It actually says if there's a case of selling and mergers, that the privacy is still a pact between you and them.
I'm not sure if that survives bankruptcy.
Yeah, right.
It should hold up legally. It's in their contract with you when you consent.
What happens when they have a data breach?
There are a lot of other certain contracts where, like, the well, whatever you sign in, if they get bought out, a lot of things are like null and void. So that's one of those things where it's like ask a lawyer before.
But if they're on, if you sign that contract, if you sign that contract, you're bound by those rules, technically. So if they were to sell, why wouldn't she be able to sue them and say,
Well, you can try and sue.
But at least this way, you have some kind of binding contract saying, you said you wouldn't sell my, information, you would de-anonymize it, blah, 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 blah. What? Yes?
What's stopping me from going and getting a Green Dot card at Walmart and then sending it off as somebody else's name?
Nothing, exactly.
Can you repeat that so everyone else can hear?
What is stopping you from getting a Green Dot card and sending it off as someone else's name? Nothing.
We've seen funky things popping up with DNA being mined. Like I saw a van on Astor Place where you could go in and have your DNA tested for locating your deadbeat.
Your deadbeat dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I actually went on the site and did a little research, and it was really sketchy, like what they were doing with the data, but it, you see it popping up in all sorts of bizarre configurations as companies that do DNA testing for some reason or another.
Right. So I personally wouldn't go to one of those places, one of those random places. There were people going in there? That's interesting. That's
a photo of the band.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Did you get the license plate?
Did you check if they were a real business?
So likewise, there's lots of companies that will sell you information about your ancestry. And really the only information you can get is, like Nino said, is like it's the mixture of all your ancestors.
Right.
Special number of ancestors.
Ancestry.com gives you four basics. And 23andMe drills down because they look at the different isotopes in your DNA.
I also just wanted to mention, there is a law in the books right now, the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act, GINA.
Yeah.
And that prohibits health insurers or
from
employers
kicking
from
kicking you out because
your
of your genetics, yeah.
Right. However, it doesn't prohibit, for example, life insurance companies. There's still plenty of tools out there.
See, that's something that we should be changing. We should be looking at all of these laws.
It's never been held up in court, so it's action by law.
Right.
Time for last question.
Last question.
Yeah. Question for you. CRISPR and other technologies are coming along that will change our DNA for beneficial purposes.
Yeah.
What do you think is the limit for how much of your DNA has changed before you are no longer you?
I love this. There's a video game. I think it's called Deus Ex, something like that. There's a video game.
Called
Deus Ex, D-E-U, Deus Ex, my Latin not so bueno. So what happens in that game is as you lose body parts, you get something technical put on, a prosthetic of some sort. And the premise of the game is as you get hurt more and you get another piece of equipment put on, who are you fighting for, the humans or the machines? I love that. I love that concept because that's where we're going. We're all very intertwined with our laptops and our smartphones. So that's our future.
So where's the limit? Where's the
how much money do you have?
Before you are you, no longer you.
We're going to find out.
Can I just
Can
I just say one comment?
I mean, how much of your DNA are you going to end up changing?
Can I just say like one quick comment?
What?
You realize that philosophers are arguing exactly that question. Like the ship of Theseus is literally that question, and they've been arguing about it for like 1,000 years at least. You really want her to answer in about a minute and a half?
No, no. I don't think if there's no answer, then that's a problem because we're going to be encountering
the
problem.
That's the human question.
It's like, what's morality?
I think the philosophers are going to have to discuss this one long after the end of this talk. So I'm going to ask you, ladies and gentlemen, to please put your hands together.
Thank you.